We're in a series called Catalyst, and our great friend Wade Bearden was here to launch us off. I hope you liked Wade. Wade's a cool guy. He's cool now. Before he met me, he wasn't cool. He was just smart. But I met him in college at camp. Actually, he was working at camp. He wasn't in college yet, and I was kind of took him under my wing and taught him how to be cool. And his brains and my cool, we were a dynamic duo. But now he ended up being my roommate, college and everything. It was really cool. Later on down the road, I was graduating and he was just beginning. And he was way more studious than I was. But now we love Wade. He does an awesome job. I'm sure you enjoyed it. Very smart guy, and we'll be sure to have him back in the future. So we started a series called Catalyst. We're talking about elements in our lives, these specific things that happen in our lives that we have that sometimes we neglect and we don't hone in on. They're there for us, and they're meant to help us, but sometimes we lose track of these elements, and we find ourselves in need of help, and we don't know what to do. So in this series, we're drawing out those elements, those catalytic things that and a catalyst is something that is, it's not just a thing, it's changing. Wherever that element is, it changes the situation. You ever met somebody that when they walk into a room, the room changes? Like, just something about them, like the mood changes, whether it's good or bad, they change things, right? They're catalytic, you know, that's just the way it happens. When I was preparing my message today, I found this, I was talking about, looking at catalytic things in our past. And I was hitting two age groups because I know we have a range of ages here. And the first one I thought of was Rocky. You remember Rocky? Love Rocky. Great. Yes. Rocky forever. Rocky IV. There's all kinds of, there's so many good Rockies that they made more Rockies and they're still making more Rockies. He was a catalyzing figure. He was something that kind of, and people like idolized him. It made them, want to be like him. And it's funny, when I was preparing the message, I was looking up things about the Rocky, the movie. And the way it's characterized today and the way we love it, you would think that it was planned out for decades and it was like this huge ordeal and they threw millions and millions of dollars at it. Actually, nobody wanted it. Nobody wanted the movie Rocky. Sylvester Stallone, he actually wrote it. He starred in it. And he won, he helped produce it, all these things. He did all this stuff for it. And when the studio, like they got the script and these people were backing it, these producers, and they said, well, we want a well-known actor to do it. And they're like, no, this guy was part of the deal. We can't use the script unless he does it. And he wasn't anybody. In fact, they offered to buy it from him for $350,000 in his time. That was the 70s. $350,000. He only had $130 in his bank account, and he was in the process of selling his dog because he couldn't afford to feed him anymore. Man, he was down on his luck, and he turned down $350,000. He said, no, I'm going to star in this movie. I wrote it. I'm starting it. So you can either, I'm in it or you're not having it. And so crazy, right? I would have been like, take it, it went through multiple revisions before that, and so it was his baby, that was his thing. And so when they went to the studio and they said, we have this script, we love it, but we want one of these well-known actors, said they were going to give him a $2 million budget. They literally cut it in half, and they said he has to play the part. They said, well, we're only giving you $1 million then. And if you have to sign something, the producers had to sign something saying if they went over budget, it's on them. The producers actually mortgaged their homes to finish producing the movie. Crazy, right? Oh, it's just nuts how much people didn't want it. And I was reading through like all these things about how like him running through the streets, they didn't have permits or anything. They were just running. And you see people looking at him, those are real people looking at a weird guy running through the streets being filmed by a truck that's, in front of him. Very strange. There's a moment where a vendor throws him an orange. Totally unscripted. That was a real vendor. It was all on the spot. Craziness. I think the scene where he's in the bathroom in his apartment and he's learning about his coach and all that, that was all ad lib. And what gave him motivation was that it was his actual bathroom. It stank so bad. So it gave him his mojo for the moment. Crazy. So Rocky was a catalyzing thing. It was a phenomenon. It was crazy. And But what was it about it? It didn't have anything to do with all that struggle before. It didn't have anything to do with that. It was about the story. It was something that we can identify with. So we know Rocky, and also another one I looked up because I got to play to the generations. Karate Kid was probably the next Rocky. Karate Kid was the next thing. And there's something unique. Both of these plot lines are pretty close to the same thing. It's a underdog meets this unique leader coach that helps them on and teaches them in weird ways. For Rocky, it's he had gone to meat lockers and punch big slabs of meat. And they said that he actually did that so much and it was so cold it flattened his knuckles. And to this day, Sylvester Stallone's knuckles are flattened because of it. And the Karate Kid, I mean, it's wax on, wax off. I mean, we all know what that's from. All the weird things that he had him do and teach him. It was weird and it was quirky, but it somehow worked. The underdog meets this weird leader, and in those moments, the lead characters, Rocky and Karate Kid, they're like, okay, I'll give this a try. It's strange, it makes me feel weird, but I'll do it. I'll give this a chance. And so they go through it, and it puts them in this weird place where they lose themselves, but they find themselves. And it's so strange how it works out. And we find ourselves identifying with this. So they do they begin to overcome fear and doubt because of all these weird methods. It gets their head off of themselves. And a pinnacle point, it all comes to, because all that is worthless unless it comes to the moment, the climax in the movie where it's the fight. The bad guy meets the good guy, you know, or the antagonist and the protagonist. They meet up and it's, I mean, just luckily it's a fight, so we can say literal fighting. And Rocky is way out of his league. Karate Kid is way out of his league, but they've had these cool coaches. But in that moment, in that climax moment, the coaches are there, but they can't be in the fight with them. So they're in the mix themselves, but the coaches are still there cheering them on. Mickey is in his corner for Rocky, and he's screaming at him. I mean, you can just hear his voice as I'm saying it. He's just screaming at him, his little raspy, little old man voice. In his Philly voice, just yelling at him. The Karate Kid, Mr. Miyagi's in the corner, you know, and he's like, and he's looking over, and they're making eye contact, and he's a little more of a reserve leader. And, he's saying all these things and doing all this crazy stuff, but they're still there in their corner. They can't be in the mix with them, but because they're still working in their behalf, arguing with the coaches, arguing with the refs, just trying to make it happen to help continue to help them. We find ourselves, we identify with this. Everybody sees themselves as the underdog. Even the people that are overly confident, deep inside, they see themselves as the underdog because they have weaknesses. And when you have weaknesses, you have shortcomings. Every one of these people, these idolized, and there's so many movies and stories just like this that we can identify with because they have weaknesses just like us. So we find ourselves in a pickle. We find ourselves in a moment where we're underdogs and we have this goal. We have this thing that we would like, these opportunities that are given to us. Rocky was given an opportunity to fight Creed. Karate Kid was given an opportunity to be in the big match. He's given opportunities. We receive this ourselves, whether it's in work, whether it's we meet a new person that becomes the significant other in our life, whether it's in our family, whatever it may be, we receive these opportunities and we find ourselves at a disadvantage because we have weaknesses and we feel that we can't fulfill them. And then we have these extraordinary leaders in our lives that come along and they help us. And when I say extraordinary, I mean extraordinary. They are strange. You know, and they come along and it's always those strange ones that catch your attention and they help us along in what we're doing in life and they teach us weird ways and we all need this. It's how we all identify with this type of story. It puts us in a weird place where we lose ourselves, but then we find ourselves. So who is that coach for us? Yeah, we have individuals in our lives that can also meet that, but we have an ultimate coach. An ultimate leader that helps us. And he is weird. As far as this world's concerned, he is weird. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Jesus. When Jesus hit the scene, man, he was so strange. He was catching attention from far off lands. People were gossiping about him. They were spreading. He did some weird stuff. Very different than what was happening in the culture today and in that time. He was weird. And all the apostles, as some of them were, you know, they were in high stature positions. Some were just lowly fishermen at the time. But when they stopped and followed Jesus, they immediately became underdogs. They immediately were against the grain of culture. And so they were seen as lower, lesser. They were following somebody that was against who they were. And so they were automatically seen that way. And so they were underdogs. In Romans, Paul is talking to them, and he's talking to the Romans, and in this portion of scripture that we're about to read, he had just finished talking to them about their confidence that they can have in Christ, their security, and all the actions that Christ has done for them in his life. He's talking about all of that. And all these weird things that he did, all these weird teachings that he did, how it made them extraordinary. The apostles lost themselves, but then found themselves, who they really were. And he's finishing the security, and he says this in Romans 8, 31 through 34. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies, who is to condemn. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Again, prior to this, Paul went through all the things. This is why you should enter, this is why you should have security in Christ. This is why you should have security in your faith and your belief, because Jesus did something that nobody on this earth had never done. He came, he served, he lived above reproach. He disbanded the Pharaohs and the Pharisees. He disbanded the Pharisees. He contradicted them. He took them on. And then he died and rose again. He beat death. Here's all this security. But then he finishes up with this. And this is kind of Paul's way of going, if you didn't catch everything I just said before, like if that wasn't enough for you, here, let me draw it in for you. This was his, like, and the commentators on this scripture say it's almost poetic in how he talked about this. We're all very familiar with the, if God is for us, who can be against us? It's like Paul's float like a butterfly, sting like a bee moment. It's poetic. We remember it because of how cool it is and how much it makes sense. And I love the Greek translation. It's more closer to it as far as the context is. It doesn't say if God, it says since God is for us. Paul is telling him, regardless of what you think, regardless of your moment, believers, listen to me. Since God is for you, he's for you regardless of what you feel in the moment. Regardless of where you're at, God is for you. So float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. If God is for us, who can be against us? And so at this moment, Christ is left. He had his weird teachings. He was teaching the apostles, wax on, wax off. Go punch the meat. You know, he's all these things. He taught them this weird stuff, and he took them on a journey. But now we're at the pinnacle. We're at the climax moment for the apostles. The leader is not in the mix anymore. They're in the battle now. They're having to carry out what they've been taught. So they're there and they're in that moment. This is the climax. And so he finishes it up by saying, but remember at the very end, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Now, interceding. Let me just read the definition for you in case anybody is not clear on the meaning of it. Intercede is to act or interpose in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble, as by pleading or petition. I'll read it again. To act or interpose in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble as pleading or petition. What he's saying is that, yeah, he's left. He had all these teachings for this, and this is all your security. This is all here. But he's not done with you. He's not done with you, Romans. Even though you're in the scrap of it, and it can be life or death for you for believing in Christ. The apostles knew this firsthand. It's life or death for them, and whether they choose to do this. They're in the scrap of it. They're dodging punches. They're going round for round. And he's saying, he's still there, interceding on your behalf. He left the earth. He's in heaven now. Now he's in your corner. He's arguing with the ref. He's throwing coaching to you. He's encouraging you, like Mickey in the corner. He's yelling, like the odd stares from Mr. Miyagi. He's in your corner, and he's trying to help you. He's not done yet. So it makes much more sense now. Since God is for us, since the Savior is for you, he's continually for you and continually helping. Who can be against you? So in this moment, the Romans, how could they fear? They had literally seen Jesus. They had literally seen his miracles and what he did, how he came back to life. And now he's in heaven interceding on their behalf. How could they fear? And how could they fail? Where in your life do you feel like an underdog? Where? Is it in your family, in your finances? Is it, in your relationships? Is it at work? Where do you feel like you're falling short? Where are you the underdog? We make the big mistake, especially as Christians, of neglecting that quirky leader in our life, that one that came and changed it all. And we're like, okay, he's not here right now. Yeah, he's not here, but he left his teachings. They're all right here, compact. We have printed billions of these in special different languages and different ways. Luckily, thank you for the Reformation that happened that made it to where people like us can read this and we can learn. And this stuff, it feels weird. They're loving your enemies. I just did a series about awkward. It's awkward. It feels weird to do some of these things. But by far, I guarantee you, living in the teachings of Jesus is the most powerful way to live your life. There's none. No, fear cannot overtake this. Control, manipulation, this disbands all of it. Because the Pharisees did all of that. They used religion, and they used fear, and they used control to try to control God's people. And Jesus, in his ways, wiped it all out. It couldn't contest to it. So, all the teachings are right here. You have it. It's your choice. Are you going to practice it? Just like it was Rocky's choice, was he going to do the weird thing and get uncomfortable? Just like it's the Karate Kid's choice, was he going to wax on, wax off, even though it felt stupid? He might not have liked it in the moment. It felt weird, but he still did it. And because they did it, they were able to win. They were able to win their battle. The weird teachings are here. Follow them. It's unorthodox in method, but it works. By far the most powerful way to live your life. So we find ourselves reading the scripture, and every day we find ourselves in a battle. So why wouldn't you read the scriptures every day? If you're finding yourself in a battle every day, when you wake up, you're back in that battle. You have to go back to work. You have to go back home. You have to sit at the dinner table. You have to raise your kids. You have to raise your parents sometimes. You have those moments where you can't escape them. Because we live in life and we need each other, you still have to go back to the battle. So that means you don't stop training. Because if you stop training, that means you begin to lose. You lose your edge. You lose who you are. Remember, when we do these things, when we do these quirky things, we lose ourselves, but then we find our true selves. Just like Rocky and the Karate Kid. Since there is a Savior for you, who can be against you? Jesus is in your corner. He gave you the teachings. Right now, as I speak, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. He's talking to God saying, hey, forgive them for this. Forgive them for that. Throw them a lifeline. Throw them a little money. Throw them a new relationship. Please do this. And then he's coaching you. He's saying, hey, come on, go this path. Talk to this person. Give to this person. He's doing all these things. He's in your corner. Not only do you have the security and benefit that he died on the cross for you, conquered death, he beat it all, disbanded all the religion that was bad in the time, he's still on your he's still on your side. He's still helping you. He's still for you. Since the Savior is for you, who can be against you? And so that's for us. That's our Rocky moment, our Karate Kid moment. But then what about the group? How does this look like to the group? How do we do this together? See, the cool thing is, since we are Christ's ambassadors here on earth, we get to be that coach and leader. We get to be the Mickey. If you ever wanted to be Mickey screaming in somebody's corner, you can be that Mickey. If you want to be Mr. Miyagi, you can be Mr. Miyagi. We see people battling every day. It's not just us. There's other people battling things in their lives, whatever it may be. We don't just sit around while it happens. We don't just watch them struggle. We need to step in and help to be that weird leader, to show them the teachings that we have that make us extraordinary and above, and how we win our battles. We get to be the coach. We get to be their backup. We have these opportunities, and we can't let them pass. One of the most powerful things that we can do is just as Jesus is doing right now for us, is interceding on their behalf, praying for them. That is sometimes the best help that you could ever do somebody for somebody, is praying for them. So those coworkers in your life that are just struggling, on your drive home, I know you think about them. I know it's in your mind. Pray for them. Take the moment. Talk to God about them. You don't have to have all the right words. God just wants to know that you care about them. You don't have to have the solutions. God will provide the solutions. Oftentimes, we think that we have to make it work, but God's the one that makes it work. We just need to bring it to him. So intercede on their behalf. Pray for them. Step into the gap for them and be the leader that they need. Be the coach that they need. Be in their corner. And when you do that, I guarantee you will see the miraculous unfold. You will see opportunities opened up to you to be the quirky leader. When they're wanting to go to battle with somebody and they hate somebody and they said, hey, why don't you try doing something nice for them? Man, that's weird. Wax on, wax off. Strange. Just try it. And their lives will begin to change. You'll begin to see the miraculous happen. So today's element is to intercede. Is to be that person in the gap for your friends, for your family, for your coworkers. Intercede for them. Be in their corner. It's a really cool moment. It's a great thing to share. I've been able to be that for somebody, and man, it's not that I get to boast that, oh, I did this or anything like that, because I didn't do anything. They did it. Mickey didn't do anything for Rocky, really. He taught him some stuff, but Rocky's the one that had the battle. He's the one that took the punches. And the same thing for the Karate Kid. It's a really awesome moment to be in somebody's corner and to see them succeed because of the things that you taught them. So my challenge for you in this element to intercede is, first, practice the teachings. Grab this book. If you don't know where to begin, start the Beatitudes. Do those. That's a handful right there. Start at those. Start those weird teachings, loving your enemies and doing things like that. So practice the teachings, wax on, wax off, and do it every day, because every day you're stepping into a battle. The next thing is not have fear. You haven't been left alone. You're not going through this battle alone. Jesus is still in your corner. He's still after it. He's still helping you, arguing on your behalf. That's one of the great things about Jesus that is above any other God that's ever worshipped here on earth. He is the only God that came back to life. He died and he rose again. He conquered death, the only one. And he lives today, and he's still in your corner. And the last thing is to be in the corner for others. Help be a Miyagi for somebody. be in their corner talking on their behalf, talking to the one who intercedes for them. Be there for them. Lord, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for what you do for us, Jesus. The example that you were, to this day, people are still arguing about it and still debating over it, and wars still rage on because of it. You were such a life-changing thing, such a catalyst. The actions, the teachings, it's amazing. Lord, I pray that we don't neglect those teachings, that we take those things that make us feel weird and that are uncomfortable for us, and we make them our own. We practice them. And in doing that, we lose ourselves, but then find ourselves. Help us through that, Father. Give us the sensitivity of your spirit to know when to act and when to learn and when to teach others, God. Lord, and help us not forget that you're interceding on our behalf, God. Every day, you're there. You're talking to God for us. You're in our corner. Thank you so much for being there for us. You could have ended it then. You could have been done. But no, you love us that much that to this day, 2,000 years later, you're still working for us, still coaching us, still helping us. Thank you, God. And Lord, as we continue and we go, I pray for just to help us see people like you do, Jesus. Help us to be the coach that they need, to be Jesus for them, to love them, and to show them by example the teachings, God. The things that have helped us, help us show them so they can begin their path, their journey of losing themselves and finding themselves. Lord, we love you. We thank you for interceding for us. And I pray that this week we become bigger catalysts everywhere that we go. We love you. Amen.